Remember that text? Look at verse 38. We have it on the screen here. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Short passage. I love this. I wonder sometimes, God, why is this story in our Bibles? There's got to be a reason. It's something there. I just wanted to explore that today. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, I think she demanded, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. That's kind of how I feel like Martha said it to Jesus. Here's how Jesus responded. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, what do we do with a woman like, or women like Martha and Mary? They're so different. And yet, Lord, I think we learned something in this text about how our relationships and how we are so different, and how in the world can we work together? And I just want to explore that today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the gospel writer Luke opens up his story, says that Jesus came to a certain village. I love that about the gospel, because Jesus is not some itinerant preacher who is scheduling big major conferences and things. He just goes from village to village to village. He's pretty down to earth. He doesn't have a schedule like, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia at 7 o'clock on Friday night. Be there or be square. I'm telling my age now, right? Young people, you have no clue what I just said, unless you've watched the Fonzie, right? Whew. Yeah, I'm 63. I'm about to be, what now?
Before you jump the shark.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. On this particular day, Luke is describing Jesus entering a particular village, went into a particular home with a particular family. As Jesus began to teach, Mary, one of the sisters, sat at his feet and absorbed every word. She was hanging on every word. But the other sister, Martha, who most likely greeted Jesus at the door, she actually invited him. It was Martha who invited him. Was busy at work while all the men and her sister were just listening to Jesus. That's all they were doing, just listening to Jesus. Some of us easily relate to Mary, who loved to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him talk. Some of you get here 15 minutes early and you're ready to worship God. Some of you come in after the worship is over because you could care less about worship and music. That's a reality in the church, really, right? Others relate more easily to Martha, who loves to work for Jesus and let others do the talking. We don't want to. Mary and Martha are sisters. We don't understand either of them unless we remember that they're related. Our text tells us that it was Martha who invited Jesus home for dinner. She was good at things like hospitality. Martha was an expert in hospitality. But while she was preparing the meal, her sister Mary is out in the living room with the guys and everybody listening to Jesus at his feet. And that really ticks Martha off. We can imagine her in the kitchen clanging the pots and pans just a little bit louder. Whoa, what's going on in there? Maybe she's remembering an old argument with Mary. Mary never helps with the meal, or does any dishes. Mary's always sitting on Daddy's lap while I'm in the kitchen with Mom cooking. While Mary hashes all this in her mind, clanging or banging her dishes louder and louder, I can imagine, she burst into the room. "Teacher, do you not care that I'm doing all the work around here? Mary has left me to do all the work. Tell her to come and help me." This reminds me of another argument in another family called the church. Some of us are like Mary. We could worship all day. I mean, we're just torn. I mean, we cry during worship, and we're emotional, and it's passionate. The Marys go, "What's going on with that person? Why are they crying all the time?" Mary could sit up all night reading a good book because of the poetry or the words, and they could come to you the next day. I stayed up all night. This book was so engaging. Martha's probably don't read that much. I don't know. Some of us are very much like Mary. We could worship and learn all day, and we love it. We can behold the beauty of God, worship Him all day, at times even being moved to tears. The Marys among us are wired to behold. They behold beauty, they behold tragedy, and they take it all to heart. It's all about the heart. But the others in the church, like Martha, are wired to volunteer because somebody's got to get the work done. Right? Marthas are wired to work. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in the church for 46 years. If you don't have Marthas in the church disappears. We need the Marthas. But Marthas and Marys just don't get along too good in church. Right? Why aren't they doing more stuff around here? Here's how it plays out in church. Here's how it's played out in the 40 years I've been a pastor. I don't hear that too much here, but believe me, it's in every church, every single church. Pastor, tell them they ought to be serving on our committee. We've got plenty of vacancies on those committees. Tell them to be more involved in missions. Make them sign up to do more than they're doing right now. Martha's wonder why the pastor is letting Mary just sit week after week after week after week and just worship, and that's it. Can't they do something? To Martha, it's all about the work. To Mary's, it's all about the heart. But they're both devoted to Jesus. They're very devoted to each other. They love each other intensely, so intensely that they argue with one another. It just happens. What do you do with a problem of Mary and Martha? Paul understood a similar problem in the church of Philippi. Remember when he wrote this, Philippians 4:2? I plead with Euodia. I plead with Syntyche to please get along. Have the same mind. Isn't that amazing how Paul somehow knew that Church of the Philippi had two women like a Mary and a Martha? It could have been the same problem. They were fighting with one another. Paul is going, would you please tell Susanna and Henrietta to please get along? Mary and Martha. Paul tells these two women to work together because they need each other. We need Marthas in the church. We need Marys in the church, right? And we just need to know how to get along. Right? Amen? Ah. Notice carefully what Jesus does. He doesn't try to negotiate a compromise. Well, nor does he take sides. Well, I think Martha's more right than Mary, and maybe Mary's more right than Martha. That's not the point of this story. He gives Martha a reminder of what is most important. That's because whenever any family is caught up in an old argument, they have forgotten what is most important. That's what happens. When you start arguing with one another, you're forgetting what's more important than your argument. He starts out by saying, Martha, Martha. I love that. Remember when your parents said all three names? William Sterling Kahn, I know I'm in trouble. But if they just said, Billy, Billy, I'm just confused. Martha, Martha, you're distracted by many things. Only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Notice he does not say Mary is the better part. He said she's chosen the better part. Usually when you hear this text preached in a sermon or a teaching, the preacher maybe uses it to uphold the virtues of Mary, and then he enters into a lot of Martha bashing. Wouldn't that be easy to do? It sounds like he's kind of rebuking Martha. But you need to understand, what was the story right before Mary and Martha? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And just the opposite was happening. Remember the pastor, priest, walked by the man who'd been beaten, and he goes, I got to go to worship. Got to go to worship. Here comes the associate pastor, or the helper in the temple, and he sees him, looks over, I got to go to worship. And then the Samaritan comes along and does a great deal of work, right? So Jesus is not bashing Martha. He's not, matter of fact, he's not telling her, don't work. He's just trying to get her focus back to what is important. The mission of the church depends on the Marthas. Right? If we didn't have any Marthas in our church, nothing would get done. Can I hear an amen? And especially from pastors. See, part of my job is to recruit volunteers. Would you please be a Martha? Would you please be a Martha? See, and maybe I'm a little, you know, we can sit in our elder meeting and how do we get more people to work around here? See, now it comes out. That's what we talk about. Because that's what we're trying to do, right? To help people to get involved and to worship. But Jesus is reminding Pastor Bill that you got to have both in the church. So my question, can Mary's and Martha's get along in church? Yes, they can. Yes. Especially when you realize that you need each other. Amen. See, within a given society, there's a kind of family resemblance in all of our different relationships. There's a quality, an atmosphere, a common thread that integrates and ties all these various relationships together. It's the bond or the glue that keeps people separated but connected, distinct yet related. It's the cadence, the dance of our culture and our lives as family. We see this in God's ordering of creation. In Genesis, God separates the light from the darkness, but he binds them together as day and night. He separates earth and heaven, seas and land, fish and birds, beasts and husbands and wives and pastors and congregation and officials and those underneath. And we're supposed to work together. Because I can lean more toward one thing and monopolize on that, and I'll forget about the other. Say, Pastor, is there a problem in the church? No, but it's always there. It's always there. It really is. There's nobody that gets frustrated with your brother and sister here, right? Anybody? Besides me? Anybody? Okay, admit it. What do we do with a problem like Maria? See, our culture tries to eliminate all these distinctions, right? They want everybody on a flat surface. That is total chaos. Equity, we want everybody the same. God did not create everything the same. He created the man to be the head of his wife, not the other way around. Oh my goodness, I will probably get texts. And here's something interesting to me. I've thought about this, you know, every year I think about it. Father's Day, Mother's Day, and Father's Day. Now, when I preach a message that really reams the fathers out, everybody's like, yeah, Pastor, you go! But if I was to do that on Mother's Day? Oh, Pastor, we think that your time here is up. Why can't I ream out the women? Well, I'm doing it today. I'm sorry, Mary and Martha. Right, so. Just not on Mother's Day. See, I'm safe. And please come on Mother's Day, women. I'm not going to ream you out. But you guys on Father's Day, man, I'm going to grind it in. Right? Oh. See, Jesus' concern is for those who have committed themselves to being a servant, being of service. He's wanting them to let them know that you have to attend to your souls a little bit. Yeah, I know you work a lot and you love to work, but you have to stop and behold and sit at the feet of Jesus. And the Marys can help you do that. Martha must remember she is doing this for the Lord, and Mary is doing this for the Lord. And whatever you do for the Lord, remember last week? Whatever you do is not in vain in the Lord. It may not be the way I like to see it happen, but that's irrelevant when it comes to our giftedness, what God has called us to do. Some of you are called to do different things. You know, I see Jack and Arlene here, and I don't help. I'm sorry, I'm going to pick on you a little bit, not in a bad way. But they have a really unique ministry at the dairy. It's really weird. It's really odd. But you know what? It's pretty effective. You probably can't even count on your hands and feet and all this stuff how many people you've impacted in your life. To attend to the Jesus part of your life is to join Mary at Jesus' feet, where your soul is nurtured in God's intense love for you. We Marthas do not serve Jesus in order to love him. You do not serve Jesus in order to love him. You serve him because you understand fully his love for you. We serve because we become convinced that he loves us, like that song, I love that. What a powerful song. See, the Gettys, let me just side note here, they're urging the church today to please write more modern hymns. More modern hymns. There's nothing wrong. See, the hymn book we have, we got a lot of older hymns, which are great. Amen, hallelujah. But we need to write new hymns. Because I'll tell you right now, as a worship pastor, I'm really disappointed in a lot of the new songs that are coming out today within the general population. It's just, oh, feely, touchy-feely. When I sing a song, I want to hear the truth of God's word and the truth and the beauty of the music. Both. Paul prays for the Ephesian believer saying this, and I'm summing this up, but he says, I pray that your roots go down deep in the love of God. that you'll have the power to understand how long, how wide, how deep God's love is, so that you, together with God's people, will be made complete in Him, experiencing the fullness of God together. Why do you serve God? Well, somebody's got to get the work done. Wrong answer, Martha. Because that's the way you're wired, and you're supposed to do what you're wired to do. Why are you a Mary? Because that's the way God wired you, and that's what you're supposed to do. But we must all attend and all sit at Jesus' feet. And we must all understand that our service has to derive from the love of God alone, nothing else. Well, I serve God because I think He'll pay me back. And I think He'll honor me. That's way down the road, folks. We know that we're going to get rewarded for the... It's not in vain. But that is not the first priority of serving God. That's called bartering. You do your thing, God, I'll do mine, and we'll see if we can meet in the middle and see if I can get some stuff and you can get some stuff and we'll be two happy campers. In the wonderful book, Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard, I don't recommend that book to the average individual. It is hard to read. It's hard for me to read. And I like to read. And I like to read challenging things. But that's a hard book. So do not read that book. Don't touch the paint. Yeah, okay, anyway. He reminds us that everything in this world that has life needs the right environment to stay alive, whether it's a cabbage or a water buffalo. It won't survive outside the proper environment. The church thrives when everyone understands the depths of God's love so it can flow out toward our brothers and sisters in the Lord, even those who are wired different than we are. Amen. The reason we need to spend time at Jesus' feet is because when the Mary-like quality comes alive in our souls, before long, all the other parts of our lives come into play. We worship and we work. But know that Martha's will still be frustrated with Mary's until Christ comes back. So just be ready. It's just, how do we get along? In Martha and Mary, we have a model of the true love of God. Both sisters loved the Lord, and they showed their love in different ways. See, that's the key, right? You may show the love of God in a totally different way than I do. I may not like it, but that's how you're wired. And we need more workers here. And through the years, I'll probably plead with you, please get involved in the church because we need more Marthas here. Our Marthas are going away. So they're tired of doing all the work. Just joking. But you get my point, right? As Jesus warned Martha, we will eventually lose all the other parts of life anyway. The only better part will not be taken away from us. You'll serve God, and all that's going to go away. One good thing that Jesus didn't do is He didn't abdicate and give Martha what she wanted. Right? He told her, listen, oh, you're all worked up about many things. Martha, Martha, you're just confused. Thank you for cooking the meal. And you would think, boy, that'd be a slap in the face to a host, wouldn't it? To the average, but this is Jesus, so it's okay. But I think Jesus wanted the church to know something in this text. I think He wanted to teach. We didn't see this in the book of Mark. Mark is just so fast-paced, it didn't get to this story. But I just thought, I like that story. Because I can be a Martha sometimes. and hopefully I can be a Mary. I think, in a way, we all have both Martha and Mary in our hearts anyway. It's one is dominant over the other. So anytime you start getting ready to say something about Mary, check your heart, okay? Wait, I got a Mary in there too. Or you should have, or what she chose, right? So the only way to keep the things that you're working hard to save is eventually, or even now, today, lay those works at Jesus' feet today. Today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it entertains us. But it also teaches us something very important about our relationships. Lord, I look back and I look at the book of Mark and see how much patience you had toward your disciples. And they came from so many different backgrounds. And yet, they were together. And they served together. Lord, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for, as Psalm says, the unity of the brotherhood is like oil dripping down on Aaron's beard. It's just wonderful, and it flows. And God, I just pray that that would continue to happen here. I say continue because I really believe this church is a wonderful group of people who really love you, really want to worship you, and we really want to serve you. And so, Lord, help us and show us, Lord, as we together continue to share the gospel with others, our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, and to make disciples of all nations, starting right here in the Willamette Valley, Lord. And Lord, as the world sees the Marys and Marthas getting along and loving one another within the church, you said that by this all men will know you're my disciples. So Lord, I pray that we would truly love one another with a deep, deep love for you and because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take